Welcome to Sunshine Sisters, an interview segment highlighting the women making an impact in St. Petersburg today. I'm Karen Carmichael. My guest today is Joy Rose, a musician, an artist, and the managing director of the Museum of Motherhood, or MOM. MOM started in 2003 in Dobbs Ferry, New York, and it is now located in St. Petersburg. MOM creates, produces, and presents visual, literary, educational, academic, and performing arts exhibits, and education that celebrate, nurture, and support individuals with a special emphasis on identity, experience, and community. Please welcome Joy Rose. So welcome to Sunshine Sisters, Joy. It's great to have you in the Thrive Downtown St. Petersburg studios today.
Hey, sister. Thank you for having me, Karen. Great to be here.
Yeah, so I think our listeners want to get to know a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
I was in the IBM community, so that was corporate America. I'll be moving with my family. So I think I moved every three to five years when I was a kid. But I was originally from Ohio. I was born in New York, spent my early formative years in Ohio. At 12, moved to Connecticut. And as soon as I was old enough to break free, made a beeline for Manhattan. Discovered myself in Manhattan for sure.
Where did you end up in Manhattan?
I ended up in Manhattan. Well, you know how Manhattan is. So
yeah.
I started off in a raw loft space that we built ourselves in Tribeca back in the 80s.
Wow.
I lived in Hell's Kitchen. I lived in a raw loft in Soho when Mayor Koch was mayor. And you had to be submit an audio tape to live in an artist's residence and get discounted rent. And I did that for a while. But I lived everywhere in Manhattan.
It's great the way Manhattan will support artists. You know, back in those days, there was a lot more support for the artists than maybe today. It's a little different, Manhattan.
Well, it kind of reminds me of what's happening in St. Pete, to be frank.
Yeah.
You know, we had an opportunity to help create what made New York great in the 80s, past the 80s, 90s, and 2000, right? It was our heavy cultural scene.
Mm-hmm.
Which was marvelous. We invented it together.
Sure.
And then, you know, Tribeca became really gentrified and loft started selling for $1 million. And here we are. I just don't want that to happen in St. Pete.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you on that. So what did inspire you to get involved in St. Pete?
I had two kids who went to Eckerd College. So I went to Eckerd College for a January term in 1979. I'm dating myself, but
wow.
I went to Eckerd College for a January term. And then my kids just completely out of the blue discovered Eckerd. And when they discovered it, I discovered it. And that was back in like 2008/10, I started coming down.
So I always say that St. Petersburg is the 20-year overnight success story.
Yeah.
Because probably around 2000 was when things really started to change here.
Yeah.
And it went from that sleepy little retirement town, and you started seeing things happening on Beach Drive. A couple of the buildings were built in the late 90s. And now, like, it's unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable what's going on downtown.
I feel like for me, because I was in Tribeca and I was in Soho before they were what they are now, I could sort of smell the creativity in the air. And I just was like, my antenna was up, like, this is a good spot. This is growing. They want artists. They want museums. And that became my radar.
Right,
I'm headed in this direction.
I feel like back around that time was when the 600 block was just starting to bloom.
Yep.
Right? And the artists were just starting to move in there. Right?
Yep.
So that's, so that was, that. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Right? It was really a great space for people to get started. What do you see as St. Pete's biggest challenge for, like, this year, maybe 2024, and moving forward?
I mean, it's the buzzword, but it's kind of true. I mean, there are many, many issues, right? I mean, keeping St. Pete livable for the artists, certainly keeping St. Pete balanced between all of its different economic and racial disparities. I also think, though, that infrastructure is huge. And I heard an older woman talking about, after one of the recent sea level rises and hurricanes, about infrastructure. And she lived near the shore for ages and only recently has started to flood. But I also think some of that flooding is, and my son's house flooded, I think some of that flooding is due to our pipes, which have not been dealt with for what? How many years? Almost 100 years or 60 years?
Yeah, probably 50. And I think they're starting, you know, they've been starting to do that little by little. But,
it's a big budget item, right? So they can only do so much every year.
I mean, you can just see, like, the storm drains don't go down sometimes, you know? So anyway, I'd like to see our infrastructure progress along with our population surge.
So clearly you've done a lot just from this short conversation that we've had. But tell me about an accomplishment that you're the most proud of.
Yes, I've lived a great life. I've had some enormously incredible experiences. But I think if I were to say the thing I'm most proud of, it's that I found my voice. I found my voice as a woman. I found my voice in being able to sing, in being able to shout, in being able to speak my truth. I honed it when I moved to New York, when I was in bands. I had an MTV basement tape video and a couple of records on the Billboard dance charts. But more than that, I sang in clubs and shouted out to others about being present and showing up and caring about things and being heard. And I think that's my biggest point of pride.
You sound eerily similar to Fiona Frenchay. Do you know Fiona?
No.
She's one of our show hosts. She does Women of Song on Monday afternoons.
Amazing.
She was also in Manhattan in the music scene.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to connect you
with
her.
Okay, great. Love that.
So, do you have any leaders that you admire or that inspired you?
So many, and I call them my grumpy goddesses because, you know, a lot of them are women from the second wave of feminism. They were leaders, they were teachers, they were people I studied with or read their books. And now, you know, many of them gotten very quirky, but I allow them their quirks because look, they're goddesses. So they throw lightning bolts. They buzz out on different, you know, kinds of missions that I might not always agree with, but they led me, they guided me, they taught me from the day when I read Phyllis Chesler's book at 17, Women in Madness, to Our Bodies, Ourselves, which is still in print, to my mentor in graduate school, Barbara Katz Rothman, who taught me about sociology. And what sociology teaches us is that we don't just make up our world as we go along, but we're actually born into systems. And unless we have our eyes wide open, we're incapable of sort of making change because we're just trapped in a pool, in our own pool of water, and we can't see beyond. So I love my goddesses. I love the people who have taught me in life.
It's always great to have women mentors. Women that lift up other women are people I really admire.
Yes.
Right? Because we get nailed a lot of times for being catty and not getting along with each other. But
never.
I don't see that.
No.
Right?
Never.
It's like, I think women do a great job of lifting up other women.
That is my experience. And if it's not your experience, in my opinion, make it your experience. So
exactly.
I have created pods through my life. My women are my people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've created pods of where we offer equal opportunities to each other, where we embrace each other, we support each other, and they're my go-tos.
Right. So clearly you've lived an interesting life, but where's a place that you'd like to visit that you haven't been to yet?
Oh, that I haven't been to. Oh my. Well, I tried to get to Sicily this summer and never made it because Mount Etna had erupted. But I'd like to get back. I have friends in Italy and in Malta.
Oh, nice.
Fun fact about Malta.
Mm-hmm.
Malta has goddess temples.
Wow.
They are older than the pyramids. You don't ever hear about them or read about them, but they're 5,000 years old, freestanding structures in the shape of women. So hello world, Malta is where it's at.
I didn't know about that.
No,
I'm going to have to look it up.
We're going to do an exhibit at the Museum of Motherhood.
Oh, nice.
In May/June for Pride Month, Geography of a Woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do something with Malta, I think, as well as some New York artists.
So you brought up the Museum of Motherhood.
Yes.
Tell me what the genesis of that was.
Yes, the Museum of Motherhood. So I was a full-time musician. I had a band, Housewives on Prozac. We got a ton of attention. I started a festival called Mamapalooza, putting women-empowered, mom-branded art, entertainment, and education into 25 cities, 4 countries over a period of 10 years. We work with New York Parks Department, LA Parks Department, and we created these high-level 5 to 10,000 people events for families. And out of that, I learned that there was a whole movement afoot out of the second wave feminist movement that involved women who were mothers. And there was scholarship about it. And I thought, if we don't create a place where we archive this stuff, learn about it and celebrate it and study it, it will just be disappeared. And I became committed to the museum project after that.
Well, it's a pretty fabulous place. I was there about 2 weeks ago, I guess. And
thanks.
They're really impressive.
Thank you so much.
And what I was really impressed with was, again, lifting up other women locally, like you have somebody's art displayed and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, so
well,
very
we
impressive.
We want to be Florida's Women's Museum. So there is none now. We want to be it. And we want to be St. Pete's Women's Museum.
You are on your way. I can say that. So to wrap things up, I usually ask my guests if they can recommend a book or a podcast or a movie. Mm-hmm. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so I'm going to say, this is going to be fringe, but I'm going to say it. I'm really into maternal theory. So I like books that are academic in nature and look at the anthropology, economics, sociology, science, psychology of women mothers. So the book I recommend is Maternal Theory. It's edited by Dr. Andrea O'Reilly, and it's a collection of theoretical perspectives on mother the worker, mother the care person, mother the birther, mother the person of loss or grief. And I love that book. Podcasts, I don't really listen to them. I listen to Broadway musicals on my radio all the time. Film, I think I said to you earlier, I'm somewhere currently between the taste of an adolescent boy and a 3-year-old. So film-wise, I'm told I'm hopeless. So don't take my recommendations. Although my favorite film is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, my gosh. Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo, and who else?
It's actually the original one was not Patrick because it was a Australian film.
Oh, okay. That's right. I remember
by
that.
By Baz Luhrmann. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Baz Luhrmann. Mm-hmm.
So that's the one, the Australian one.
Queen of the Desert, yes.
Okay.
Eclectic taste, shall we say.
Really. So I have another question for you, though.
Sure.
I love the music from Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, yes, it's good.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love the music from Dear Evan Hansen. I also listen to a lot of old, like everything from Oklahoma to
Camelot.
Yes, to Camelot.
I know, me too.
Julie Man Andrews. Man of La Mancha, yes. Julie Andrews. Yes. I mean, what can I say?
Well, it's been a joy.
Thank you.
Spending this time with you. So thanks for joining me in the studio. This is, again, Sunshine Sisters. I've been speaking with Joy Rose of the Museum of Motherhood and clearly other pursuits. This is Karen Carmichael. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.